The Virginia Voice presents What's Your Story? Our program is based on the idea that everybody has a story to tell. All you have to do is ask. Now, here's the host of What's Your Story, Don Dale.
Hello, and welcome to a very special edition of What's Your Story. This time, our program was recorded at the West End home of Sonia and Bud Brodecki, sitting around their dining room table on a sunny winter afternoon. Sonia, who is now in her 80s, is the talkative one. Bud, who just celebrated his 90th birthday, sits, mostly quiet, nearby. Sonia and Bud were born in Poland before World War II. Both survived the Holocaust in concentration and work camps, although they lost most of their families. They met as displaced persons right after the war ended. You'll hear Bud chime in occasionally when Sonia's English fails her or when she tries to recall a specific detail. They're a charming couple. Their story is one of horrifying brutality and hardship, but Sonia credits an underlying faith in the future and in mankind for carrying them through unimaginably difficult times. Their optimism shines even today. I began our interview by asking Sonia about her earliest childhood memories.
I was very loved at home. My father and my mother, my father was always singing to me. Oh. And whenever I get a little bit depressed when I'm not supposed to, because I'm a very happy person, mm-hmm. I go think about my daddy, and right away everything is okay. Mm-hmm.
You grew up where? Where were you a little girl?
I am from Poland.
Whereabouts?
From Sosnowiec. It's Schlesien, over Schlesien in German. But it was a beautiful city. I don't know how many people were there. Well, I was a little girl and I had a wonderful childhood. So everything was beautiful to me.
Whereabouts is that in relationship to, say, Warsaw? How far?
Oh, to Warsaw. My husband is from Warsaw.
Sure.
Bolushu, do you know how far is it from Warsaw to Sosnowiec? Well, you could make it in a day, I think. It could be by train, maybe less than a day.
Was this a modern, up-to-date town, or was it a small village?
It was a town. I was, like I said, I was very happy there. I was happy with my parents, with my grandparents, with everybody. I was a very happy child.
You had a big family?
No, my family was small. My papa and my mother, my brother and myself. But I had uncles, and I had aunts, and I had cousins, and my teachers. Oh, God, and my friends, and everybody. Everybody was flooded.
Were you aware that the war was coming and it was
yes.
going to be bad?
I was not aware that it's going to be so bad. Nobody was. But my father was, like I said, a Polish officer. And I heard that when the war started, I was not quite 12 years old. So when I was speaking, I was listening. But I didn't imagine that it's going to be the way it was.
Your father was an officer in the Polish Army?
In Polish Army, yes.
You were 12 years old
when the war
broke
started.
Out. And what effect did that have on your life right away?
When the Germans invade Poland, was mm-hmm. September 3, 1939.
Right.
Everything changed for everybody. First, I came to the houses and took whatever I saw.
This would have been the Nazi soldiers.
This was the Nazis, the soldiers. So I came, there were young boys, young children. You know, like, here I take the children. There were young children. And so somebody was working on the mines, so, you know, so I can do everything with some people, not with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So they came and took. I remember my mother was complaining to my father in Polish that I taking the silver I remember this, my father said to her, honey, I'm going to buy you other ones, nicest one. Let it just be peace, you know, to make it. Mm-hmm. She was a young woman too. I mean, such wonderful parents, such good parents. And I want to tell you something else. My grandmother passed away before the war.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my grandmother on the deathbed said, be careful for the Germans. Be very careful. Because she remembers the First War.
Right.
Thank God that she passed away. Didn't suffer so much, my grandfather. It's horrible to say things like that. But I couldn't take it. My grandmother was 58 years young.
Mm-hmm.
But in Europe, we got older.
When did things turn bad? I mean, really bad.
When the Germans stopped and it started being bad. Right away. Mm-hmm. Everything changed. Everything. We couldn't buy food. No mm-hmm. food. I have to tell you one thing. I had a friend, his name was Marek Lieberman. They were extremely rich people. This was when I was still home. Extremely rich people. And he was, they were the people who helped everybody. When somebody need money, when somebody need a doctor, they were helping because mm-hmm. they had a lot of money. Somebody told the German, informed the German, that they put money in the war.
Mm-hmm.
Which is true. And the Germans came to them and opened the war and found the money. Marek and his wife was pregnant, beautiful girl, didn't look Jewish at all. They took her and took him. And we had to go and stay maybe 4 feet. They hanged him. I saw it. I was there. You see, I still remember. I cannot go out my mind. And I have to tell so people would know. Because he was such a... The whole family were good. And they had a lot of money. But they were so good, they were helping everything. For this... They sent the wife to Auschwitz. I didn't hear about Auschwitz, but I know now. She was pregnant, beautiful blonde lady. And Marek was... We loved them. The kids loved them a lot. And they hanged him. And I was standing and looking at it.
And watching.
And watching. Now when I meet somebody from Poland, from my city, I ask them, do you remember? And I said, do I remember? I was there. I was a little girl, maybe 13 or 40. Not me, my other people. And I was there. But I was so close with them that it was horrible. I cannot forget something like that.
Is this difficult for you to talk about?
No, because people have to know those things. Don't you think so?
Yes, but I'm interested in why you think so.
Because we have such wonderful people in this world. Good mm-hmm. people. I am here 63 years in America. And I just met wonderful people. Everybody I met wants to do something. It's kind. I just don't know how to express myself. I smile and I give me the smile back so he's not a stranger anymore. I don't know any strangers. I can make friends with the devil. Excuse me. I did.
Tell me about that. How?
So when I went to concentration camp...
Which one did you go to?
I went to Ginterbrecke in Germany. So I'm going to tell you, before we went to the concentration camp, just young children, 13, 11, 10, but they were tall and blonde. Just young people, you didn't have anybody over 15.
Mm-hmm.
So first they took us to to get our rice from us. We didn't have any rice.
Mm-hmm.
But they took us to throw up everything. And the soldiers were sitting and joking and we were walking like that. We were very embarrassed. Because he never experienced something like that. From this, they took us to the train. the trains were like for the cows, you know. I forgot how you call those trains.
Mm-hmm. Livestock.
Livestock.
Right.
And it was so many people packed in. We stayed like sardines, like that. We couldn't move.
Standing up.
We couldn't eat. We didn't have so nothing to eat. Was just a little window. People had to go to the bathrooms. I couldn't. I don't know. I forgot how many days we were writing like that. Until we came to Winterbrücke.
In Germany.
In Germany, yeah. They let us out. They count us. Oh, that was bad.
Did people, I'm sure there were people who did not survive those conditions
on
the train.
Oh, many people. Many young children. But we're not, they said to us in German not to cry. Because if not, they're going to punish us. 6 million people. Good people. People with beautiful, everybody. Doesn't matter how poor, how rich, everybody was happy. They had families.
And after you got to the camp.
Mm-hmm. But before I got to the camp, I want to tell you. We were sent from the city. We had a restaurant. So I remember that my mother had those things put on so nobody would break the window.
Right.
I forgot how you call those.
A grate or a gate in front of the window.
Yeah, gates on the hall windows.
Right.
But I wasn't there. My mother was there with my brothers and some customers. In the cellar.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, and all those things, my mother went to look for me.
And this was before you left?
No, this was before I left to concentration camp.
Right.
I remember that I saw a tank, I didn't know what it was, running in Poland. And I remember that the Germans got a boy, a Jewish boy, and put gasoline in. Ignite him. How can you? You can forget this. Whenever you have something good happen, things like that come back to you. So I said, we are rewarded, but you can forget things like that.
How do you cope with the memories? How do you?
I have a talk with myself every day.
Every day?
Yeah, and I have a talk to God. My husband asked me to give him the telephone number. So I said, I cannot do it. You have to work at it yourself.
He's got to find a telephone number to God on his own.
It's funny, but it's true.
It's true.
He helps. If not him, I wouldn't be here today. That's what I believe in. Because, you see, in ghetto, you know, they took us to ghettos. And in the ghettos, electric wires.
Barbed wire. Uh-huh.
If you tortured, you could get electrocuted right away. And they took all the young people out, just leave the older people and little children. So who is going to take care of the children? So my mother called all the young people, like me in my age, and said that we have to give every day a few hours to take care of the babies. And at night, the older people in my mother's age will take care of the kids. Why the kids didn't have anybody? The fathers were taking, the mothers, everybody went. And somebody, you know, beautiful children, 8 months, 9 months, 2 years, 3 years, the kids were screaming for mothers. Oh, gosh. I remember that my father was working someplace and he paid the soldiers with gold. And the doctors give the children shots.
Mm-hmm.
And put the kids in the garbage can and put garbage or fruit or something to take out the children from Germany to Holland. Well, that happened the same thing.
Yes.
They couldn't save them.
Right.
See, I remember, I didn't see it, but I remember that my father was talking with other people.
Mm-hmm. You were listening.
Oh boy, did I listen. To every word I was listening. They didn't allow me to listen. But I pretended I didn't hear. But every word, you had to. But you know, as long as you are with your parents, doesn't matter what kind of situation is. You have a mother and a father who give you a hug, who give you a kiss, who embrace you, who tells you things not to worry, that everything is going to be okay. I did worry because I saw horrible things. But to make it easy on everybody, I said, okay, I believe it. Nobody believed that it's going to, from 39 to 45, 6 years. I was going to school before the war. But when the Germans came to Poland, we couldn't go to school. I passed from the 5th grade, or from the 6th grade, I don't remember, to the 7th or the 6th, I don't remember this. And I was not bad at school. I was dancing and reciting. So I couldn't go to school anymore either. Nobody could.
You missed that?
Sure, of course. You were raised to go to school because it's good for you. I know schools are wonderful. When I speak to the children now, I tell them, in a few years, God willing, you're going to take over the whole world. Which is the truth, yes?
Yes.
Stay at school. Do the best you can. Do more than the best you can. Doesn't matter what kind of situation is you have or you don't have, go and talk to the counselor. Go higher.
We're talking with Sonia Rudecki, who along with her husband are Holocaust survivors. We're sitting in Sonia's dining room on a pleasant winter afternoon. And Sonia, you arrived at the concentration camp.
I was 13. It was summertime. I don't remember which month it was. I remember when the last time I saw my mother and my brother, it was June 26, 42.
What were the circumstances when you last saw your mother and brother?
They were waiting for the trains. And my mother pushed me away and the police took me. Because I didn't want to go away from my mother.
And you never saw her again? Do you know what happened to her?
I can imagine. I'm scared to think about it. I mean it. It's true.
And your brother?
My brother, 9 years old, Lolek. Mm-hmm. He was he was always, whenever you had a party, he was the first one. He was the first one to think, boy, would I give, what I would give if I would have him. He was 2 years younger than I am.
And you never saw either of them?
No.
Again? Your father?
No.
So
I had a picture from my father and my shoe.
In your shoe?
And my shoe. And when the Germans were looking, I don't know if she saw it and let me have it, the picture there, because I was very polite. I said, "Ich danke Ihnen herzlich." Even when she beat me, I said, "Ich danke." I couldn't. You know why? My mother and my father and my brother were around me. Now too. They are with me here. I talk to you and I feel them around me.
So by the time you were 13, you were essentially alone.
Yes. I was alone, but I didn't feel alone. Because I had my parents with me and my imagination. I have very vivid imagination.
What was life like in the camp?
What kind of life? Existing.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember I was standing outside. It was a little cold. We didn't have nothing to wear. Just a little striped dress and socks on our feet. We were so hungry. We were so hungry. So I brought out a soup and spilled outside. Special. And the children, you know how kids behave. So I was so hungry. Started licking and the Germans started shooting them. I see it now. I can see it now. And we're not supposed to cry.
I just cannot imagine that.
Oh, we was You know, we had monsters, sadists. And we had good people, too. Don't get me wrong. We had good people, too. But we had those, I don't know, they was delighted when they were hurting us. I was beating because I stole a potato. I was working with potatoes. I put potatoes I can eat in camp. I was so hungry. And they found it and they were beating me very badly. But I know that my mother and my father protect me. I was helped.
Did you have any kind of childhood at all in the camp? I mean, were you made to work?
Oh,
what did you
my.
Do with your day?
We worked very hard. Very hard. I was making Zendungen. Such as some Zendungen. Shipments.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where they chose me, but the German, they chose me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I didn't know so much about education, but I read a lot and I asked questions. And I started singing in German. I knew German a little bit. And I loved it.
Singing?
And I wasn't supposed to do this because you can get punished. But when I was working for the Germans, and I was singing in German, I loved it. And something else. I said to myself, if they don't mind, I'm going to dance for them too. I stopped tap dancing. So they called me the dance stepperin.
Tap dancing?
The tap dancing. So whenever they had a party, they called my Lagerführerin. She called me, the Lagerführerin is somebody who takes care of the camp.
Mm-hmm.
We were petrified of her. She was a young woman, but very tough. She called me, she said, come here, ten stepperin. So I went and I stayed and I said, you know, I was very, like I said, I was polite, very polite. You had to, if not, they would kill you right away. And she said to me that she has a party and she wants me to go and dance for them and sing. So I said to her, dancing is okay, but I don't sing so well. She said, I heard that you sing well. I said, okay. Didn't argue.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever she said, I took it, and I said, fine. And when I went to her, she gave me a piece of bread. You know what I did with the bread? I took it to the sick people.
Wow.
Because we had many sick people. We didn't have any doctors, any nurses, nobody. I was so skinny, I was malnutrition,
mm-hmm.
that I got sick.
Mm-hmm.
My blood changed to pus.
Mm.
And we didn't have any doctors, but there was a Mrs. Koniec Polska. She took a razor blade, she washed it with hot water, she asked the Lagerführerin to let me to take, stay under hot water, and she cut it. Here and here.
Under your arms.
Yeah. And you know, this was maybe in 42 or 43, in 1943 in Germany. And if she wouldn't do this, I would be dead already. Mm. Because if somebody would find out that I have something like that, goodbye. I had something on my foot, pus. So somebody gave me a potato, a little potato, and I put it on the top. But nobody, I wasn't so strange. But nobody knew.
And the potato was...
This potato took out the pus.
Wow.
I didn't know about that. I didn't know. Something else. I'm sorry for saying that. Some people were sick. They didn't know what to do. Somebody had a sore throat. So there was a daughter. Her papa was a doctor, a physician. And she was young, but my age, I don't know what she knew so much. Maybe she was preparing, I don't know, to go to school. Her father, she told her to use her urine and gargle her throat, she's going to be better. I couldn't believe it.
It worked?
Yeah, it worked, because it's clean. It's very clean. I couldn't believe it. I said, oh my God. I just couldn't believe it. I told the doctor in America and I was laughing. He said, is that all right?
How long were you in the camp?
From 42 to 45, we were liberated May the 8th, 1945. But I went through, in camp, I went through so much. But I was trying to help, and I didn't have any food to give. I remember when I told a lady, could you cut it so thin, very thin, so I could have for a little bit and I can give a slice away. I remember in the camp, we were young kids, so we had to have some imagination, talk about it. When we saw a butterfly flying around us, we said, this is a blessing. I said, I'm so jealous, I would love to be outside.
Mm.
Even a little mouse was going.
The little mouse was
going. She's alive. She's alive.
More free than you.
Yeah, we were not free at all. But you know, I was always hoping for the best. People say, I want to be dead. So I said, dead, when you die, you don't come back. I know they do horrible things to us, but I still believe I believe in fairies too. When I was a little kid, I believed it. But like I said, I had a vivid imagination. Whatever I want to see good, I saw it. I said, it looks here. We're sitting at the table and having food. We're getting married, and we're going to have peeled potatoes cooked in skin.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to put a little jello. Wouldn't this be nice? We had to, children, we were really children who had to grow up fast. I was working. They sent me to a place where they repair cars.
Mm-hmm.
And the man, the people who take care of you, who had the shop, want me to repair a car. What did I know about cars? I know how to ride in them, but I didn't know how to repair it.
When was this? Right after the war?
No, in the war. Yeah, during
when you were in the camp?
In concentration camp. And some soldiers were standing, and the man took a pipe and wanted to put it to kill me because I didn't do what he asked me to. So he said, you don't know how to do it? I said, I know if somebody would show it to me. The soldiers came to the guy, a young man, and told him to leave me alone. He said, I'm a kid, I don't know things like that. So he told him that I'm a halfling. A prisoner, and I'm not worth. I'm Jewish. I should be killed right away. And the soldier said, no, leave her alone. So this means he interactive in my life, yes?
Yes.
If not him, so like I want to tell you, we have good people everywhere. Mm. We have good people in Germany too. And I met a guy from Netherlands, from Holland. His name was Gilles Kahn. They were students in college in Holland, not Jewish. They were Methodists. And they had Jewish professors. And the German talked to them and want them to boycott the professors. And the guys didn't want to do this. I said, they teach wonderful. They are wonderful people. So for the punishments, I send them to concentration camp. But they were free, they could go and shop. So what's that?
It's a civil camp.
It's like civil camp. They could go and shop, and they brought them to our camp. We were standing by the fire because it was so cold, in one dress and no shoes. You know, winter. The winters are cold. And when you're hungry, oh boy. So people were coming in and I was smiling. I don't know why, to one guy, Gilles Kahn. And every morning I was looking for him. I couldn't talk to him yet, I didn't know him. But I was looking if I can see him. Because when I saw him, I said, I have somebody who will take care of me. See? Mm-hmm. And I didn't know him. I didn't know any. And do you know what this guy did? When Zai sent, I met him. He gave me his address, where to go after the war. And I'm going to be going to school. And we didn't talk about marriage, nothing. Just I made a friend who I was looking every morning for him. And everybody loved him. He was kind to everybody. He couldn't do much, but he was there.
He came here.
Yeah, yeah, but wait. They sent me to another concentration camp. To Ludwigsdorf, ammunition factory. The Russian girls could wear those things on the mouth and go to the bathroom. We were not supposed to go to the bathroom. We couldn't wear anything, and the soldiers were watching us. And many people died. Our body, the hair and our faces and everything changed from white to green and blue. The ammunition, what we was wearing every day, if this would last a few more weeks, nobody would be alive.
And you were making ammunition?
No. I was, you have to move Varzic. I was, they told me two portions of the ammunition and send it further. Mm-hmm. You know what it is. Put that way and send it further.
Mm-hmm. Part of the packaging process.
Yeah, yeah. Every day like that.
How many concentration camps total were you in?
I was in three. In three.
Which one were you in when the war ended?
The ammunition. Ammunition.
So that's
Landsberg,
where you were.
Landsberg am Lech? No.
Am Lech, yeah.
Landsberg am Lech.
And there did come a day of liberation.
Oh, sure. It came, let me tell you. They were telling us to put our junk, what we didn't have nothing. We didn't have much. Mm-hmm. Put together and lay up in the bed, in the barracks, mm-hmm. because they're going to blow up the whole city. With us. And I was praying. I didn't know how to pray. But I was praying in Polish. Please, God, take care of us. We are your children. That's all. I didn't know how to pray.
And thinking you were about to die.
I didn't think that I'm going to die.
Really?
No. I didn't want to think like that. So I said that they're going to kill us.
Right.
But I was hoping and praying. No?
So what happened?
So, they were supposed to come at night. But before they came to do this to us, the Russian came in. And my girlfriend opened the gate for them. Her name was Giza Kartush. She was from Russia, and she came to Poland with her mother to visit her grandmother, her babcia. What's happened? I couldn't go back home. And I went to concentration camp. And she took care of me when I was so sick, this Giza.
Mm-hmm.
And
she threw the gate open.
She opened the gate and she said to them, Здравствуйте, товарищ. Welcome, my friends. So I told her, if you want to beat somebody, she said, we don't do things like that. We don't beat anybody. This is, you are born this way, or they teach you. We don't do things. We're not raised like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we were liberated, and some people got right away nervous breakdown. Many people died right away too, and many people were sitting just bone and skin and just praying and thanking. I remember we didn't have black soldiers, but to other camps came black soldiers, and the people think that God came down. Can you imagine? Mm. And they were, you can imagine how those soldiers felt when they saw us.
Yeah.
When the war ended and I talked to myself, I said, now I am free. I am not going to be hungry anymore. And the first German child I am going to sleepwalking, I'm going to grab and then throw in the river. But you know, not me, not people like us, good people who are raised different. When I saw the child, I grabbed it and I hugged it and I gave her everything I had. You cannot do this to people.
How? And yet it was done to you.
I know, but I couldn't hurt anybody. A child? Our future? Which is true. You couldn't hurt anybody. I am very, when I go shopping and I see little children before me and the lady talks to me, I said, I'm very sorry. This young lady was before me. It stays with you your whole life. You remember things like that. Maybe you forget in the meantime, but later it comes back. Because I remember myself.
We're talking with Sonia Brodecki, who is a survivor of the Holocaust. We are sitting around her dining room table, and you can hear her husband in the background. We'll talk to him in the next part of this special edition of What's Your Story?
Now let me tell you something else.
What's that?
2 weeks after liberation, because I was so skinny, I came back to myself. I could eat. I couldn't eat right away. So I could eat something. I was with my girlfriends. Four girls were together. I went to Poland. No money, no clothes, just in one dress I had. Nothing on my face. That's how I was.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody gave me a little cross. I don't know who it was. So I put it on. And somebody gave me a little star after the war. I don't know who the people were. But the people were so nice.
You were 16 at this time.
16.
And strangers were giving you...
People. I told you people are nice. We are very nice people. Thank God.
Go ahead.
I want to tell you something. When I got married to my husband, my friend from Holland came to America to see us. A wonderful person. So I asked him, do you think that I should kiss him? He said, of course you should kiss him. I asked my friend what he thinks I should do. I asked him all the time. He was my psychiatrist also. He took, you know, when he's so young, everything upsets you. When I saw somebody didn't treat somebody, I got so upset. But we are here, and I love this country. We came to America September 11, 1945. But I want to tell you something else. I want to come to America when I was like that. Why? I love Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers. I like them tap dancing. And I said, when I'm going to be in America, I'm going to make business to meet them. I would. Mm-hmm. When I went to Poland without nothing, jumping from one train to the other, really, me jump, can't look at me now, jumping from one train and another.
This was when you were making your way back to Poland?
Yeah,
after the war?
After the war. And when I saw the conductor, I went to the bathroom. But the conductor saw that it's something not kosher, not right. So he called me, and I told him what's happened. And he said, don't hide. I'm going to have a ticket for you.
Mm-hmm.
And he took care of me.
So you made it back to Poland. What did you find in your... Did you go back to your hometown?
My parents had a candy factory in Poland and a restaurant. The factory was... My father and my uncle together, the oldest son, who didn't make it either. But his son was involved there too. So when I came to Poland, I didn't have any money. I was so hungry, didn't have nothing. So I asked somebody who drives horses, if he could take me to Sienkiewicza, share them, where the factory was. And I said, I don't have any money, but my cousin is going to pay you. I didn't know if I have a cousin. I just went.
Mm-hmm.
So I came there, my cousin paid them, and I stayed 2 weeks in Poland. And I went to church to see my father's friend who was a priest. And he told, see, when I came to Poland, I was hoping that they're going to send me to school to teach me music, like mm-hmm. my mother. When I was growing up, my mother always said that I'm going to go to Switzerland to school to teach me manners, to become a lady. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So look where I went. But I'm here, so there's no complaint. But so I was too, he told me to leave Poland, and I did. And I was traveling back to Germany the same I was traveling to Poland. And I told them that I don't speak and I don't hear. Mm-hmm. And so they had English. Here's the Polacks. With the Polacks was okay. But with the English, they talked to me and I couldn't understand. I said, I have a headache.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't. So I said, why don't you understand? I said, no. So I came to Germany, to Landsberg am Lech, where I met my husband.
And your husband was a survivor as well.
Yeah.
Did that have a connection with how you met?
No.
You just met.
He saved my life from this
how
Greek.
So? From the Greek?
Yeah.
Now, you told me the story briefly before we started sitting down.
Nothing to say. I told you that when he got he came because there was a commotion. And the Greek put a big knife on the table, which scared the heck out of me, but I didn't say anything. I was smiling because I wasn't scared of anybody. I am free. I can breathe. I can eat, you know, this.
Mm-hmm.
And he came in. He put Jaco to jail, yeah, because I love the Greek people.
Your husband-to-be was the policeman
yeah.
who responded.
And later he comes every day. I said, for what? I like you. So I look at him and I smile. I said, okay. I didn't say I like you. I said, okay, let's become friends. And that's how it started. He told me about his parents. We were walking and talking. Oh, he told me about his aunts, his sister. He lost his sister, too, with the baby. Mm. And his brother-in-law got sick, so I sent him right away to the crematorium.
Mm.
I still know that I still don't understand why. Why he chose the Jews? So this was war against the Jews. But it was war against everybody either. If you would be smart, you could have the whole world. But, you know, Hitler killed everybody. When you worked for him, and he didn't like something about you right away, shoot him.
It must give you a very personal definition of evil.
It is evil. But we're not going to, no more to us. No, when somebody says to me, and I don't think that it's right, I can hear, and I'm not going to answer. I'm going to ask my husband what he thinks about it. If not, I'm going to go further to ask about it. Because some people, I just still don't understand why. I could have a mother and a father. This picture I got from Israel. My son went to Israel. My uncle was dead, my mother's brother. You know, they sent pictures to each other. So my son asked his cousin, and he gives them a small little picture, made 60-some years, maybe more. He brought it to me. He took this and made a big photo like that.
Now, this picture, tell us, this is radio. People can't see. This is a picture that dates
my
from
daddy,
before the war.
Yeah.
1930s.
I don't know. Maybe 1931, something like that.
On the left, and this is hanging on the dining room wall, on the left is your mother.
Yes, my beautiful mother.
Is that a green
mother.
Or a blue dress? She's a very pretty young lady. Looks to be about 30-something.
Yeah, 33.
Then there's your little brother that you...
Isn't he cute?
He's
isn't he
3
beautiful?
Years younger than you.
Two.
2 years younger
yeah.
than you. Then there's you in a...
Wasn't I cute?
Yes, you were cute.
What happened to your face?
You're half a head taller than your brother.
Yeah.
And then there's your father in a coat and tie.
looking very middle class, prosperous even.
Very prosperous.
And educated people. Yeah. You've never seen them since
1942. And I see them. I see them. I look at them, I talk to the picture, and he's an Akatidor.
And you got that from?
Israel.
From Israel.
I didn't have any
family connection.
I didn't have anything, nothing from home. Nothing. This is what I want to tell you, too, when I came to America. My husband, he got the little picture, my husband, make this photo and put the frame. Mm-hmm. And hang it here. So whenever I feel a little bit down, which I don't, I talk to them. Mm-hmm. And right away I feel good.
But you still haven't answered the question of why in your own mind. Why? Why the Holocaust could happen? How could...
I don't know.
How could man behave like
I don't know. Why? I don't know. I would love to speak. I talked to somebody here in Richmond. He told me the same thing. I just don't know how to answer you. He was honest.
Yeah.
It's horrible what's happened.
Is it a question that you ask yourself a lot?
Not too much anymore.
It's been 60-some years.
Yes, we are married 66, 67 years. 66, like we are married, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how long after you met? But
3 months.
Husband? 3 months you were married.
Yeah.
And then you came to
We came States? To America, to heaven we came. In 1945, September the 11th. And we had another to go someplace else, but I want to go to America. We mm-hmm. didn't have anything. Really. They took away everything, later on concentration. We just had hope.
Right.
We believed that I know that I'm going to have everything. How do you think like that? I believed in it.
You were a very positive young lady.
I am very positive now,
considering
too.
What you had been through.
Yeah, but I...
You still had very definite goals.
Yes. And I said to myself, look, thank God I made it. I was blaming myself. My neighbor said to me, I said, Joanne, next door, why did I made it, not my parents?
Next door, right here.
You know what she told me?
Mm-hmm.
You made it so you would have a son.
And you had a son.
Here, I have a son. He's 65, thank God, my baby, my little baby. Oh, he's so sweet. Joseph.
Okay.
Maybe you know him. I don't know. He was playing baseball. And she said, you would have a son who is going to be the national campaign director for the Holocaust Museum in Washington and build the museum, get the money for it. I kissed her and I thanked her. She told me the truth.
And that happened?
Yes, it's true. How much money did you got, Bolek?
Millions.
Millions. Joe is a Swedish. He was born in Germany. He's my son, you know, but he was always with me.
Well, that
He's such a good boy. My whole family, we are very close. I was raising the family. I was so young, and my family was raising me.
That sounds like the answer to your why question, though. Is
really?
The answer is that so the generations can go on.
Mine family are wonderful. We have beautiful generations, all the children. The kids I met are wonderful, every one of them. When I go to school, I meet so many beautiful kids. And they listen to me, and I talk to them. And we talk about school, and they ask questions, and I answer. Oh, this is my son, look. Doesn't he look like Eisenhower?
Yes, he does. Now, this is a picture of him.
Oh, Joe, yeah.
Much later in his life.
And this is with his daughter, who graduated from Stanford. Here.
And these grandchildren?
No, this is my next-door neighbor. I like him so much.
Okay. So the generations just keep going on, and you had
Thank
to survive.
Thank God for it.
But you had to survive.
Yes, but you see, I want to have a big family. So we had six because I lost two. But those kids, they were raising me, and I was raising them. The best I knew from home, what I knew, honesty, kindness, and love. A lot of love. And the kids love that. Even now, they come and kiss me, they come and kiss Papa. And I have a daughter, Maria, who was always like my mother from a little child. From a little child.
You can see your mother in your daughter.
Yeah, she is. She's beautiful. Not just this. She writes me every... I'm older now, so she's afraid that I forget. Sometimes I do, but not much. Sometimes I do. So she comes home, she said, take your car to have it inspected. Do this, which I appreciated. She wrote me a list there, what batteries I should buy.
What is it about you, Sonia? How did you survive this and what about you? What is unique about you?
I was never by myself. I met my husband right away after the war, so I had the angel to protect me. This is my angel, my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
A psychiatrist was helping me. Mm-hmm. You know what I tell him when he is a little bit cranky with me? You raised me. Mm-hmm. Look at how nice I came out. And I thank you.
There were tough times, though. I mean,
yeah, we had...
You had nothing.
When we came to America, we didn't have anything. But I believe that everything has changed. I believe in my husband, who was an electronic man. When we came to America, a week later, he started working. Didn't have any money. I bought my first bottle to put on my hand, Johnson, after 2 years. Boy, was I happy. I was telling everybody, even people I don't know.
But you had bought hand.
But I was a little kid, so I could allow myself.
And you had bought hand lotion.
Yeah, I bought... You know, I'm so lucky. I am... In such a beautiful country, I can go out and I can breathe and bring insight. We have nurses and doctors. All people are so wonderful. It's true. I didn't make it up. It's true.
Do you worry that something like that could happen again? Something
no,
like the Holocaust?
I don't think it's going to happen again. It cannot happen to any... I hope it's not going to happen to any... To the worst people. I don't wish for anybody. For anybody. Because, listen, I got a letter from a young man who went to the Holocaust Museum in Washington and found out about me and wrote me a letter about his mother. Her name, I forgot her name. She committed suicide. She couldn't take it. She was married. She gave birth to 3 sons. Never told them anything. Never. She couldn't. I couldn't either, but see, I learned from him. And she had 3 sons. She raised them. She was always very quiet. Always. Not making jokes too much. Keeping to herself. So he wrote me about his mother, and I couldn't understand. I didn't know who it was. So I called New York to another friend. An older friend than I am, maybe 5 years older than I am, like in his age. And she told me, she said, Domi, don't you know who this is? This is your friend. She was younger than you are, but she was always with you. Her name was Kartush. And I forgot. So I wrote a letter to her son, and I said, please, don't be angry with your mother. She didn't want to do what she did. I don't know what make her doing. Because I know she had your father and 3 beautiful sons. She had a good life. I didn't know what to write to him. And be in touch with me.
But she didn't pass along the stories.
No, she couldn't.
And you do.
I couldn't either.
What made you change your mind? What made you decide to talk?
I went with him.
You're pointing at your husband.
Yeah, my husband. I went with my husband whenever he talked and listened to him and heard my mother's, remember what I told you? You're responsible, you must. So when I talk, when I start, I told people, that if I make a mistake, please forgive me, but I'm telling you the honest truth. And I thank you for having us, because you're my witness, we survivors. And you know, if you're going to hear somebody say it didn't happen, don't take his word for it, because it happened. I wish it would never happen.
But it did.
You could have a mother and a family. Well, you know, when I came to America, I said to people, do you want to adopt me? Because I said, in America, people adopt. So my husband said to me, be careful. Somebody's going to adopt you. And I'm not going to say anything. So I stopped it. No, I didn't mean anything. Listen, it happens. But, you know, I am 84 years old, and I'm in America, 64 maybe, because we live in the house 50-some years. This is the first house I bought. You know, we save pennies, we bought a house, thank God. Mm-hmm. So look, I have everything. I have food, oh boy. I have a refrigerator, I can take up, I have hot water. I can go to stores and buy whatever I want to, whatever my heart desire. Maybe that I believe so much, I don't know. Maybe that people are very important to me, very. Every human being, every little child is very important to me. And I would do everything. And I'm a patriot of America.
You were showing me the picture of you with President Obama.
Yeah.
When was that taken?
Last year, I think, in April, for Yom HaShoah. You know, they have every year
the Holocaust observance.
Yeah.
And it's signed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Color picture of you and the president.
And some people there.
Very few people have a color signed photograph of themselves with the president. How'd you get that? You were determined.
No, I just went to say hello to him, like to another human being. That he's a president, big deal.
Yeah.
But he's a nice human being with beautiful teeth, very handsome guy.
So he was nice to you?
Oh, yeah. Everybody's nice to me, I told you. I'm here so many years and everybody, thank God.
She scares him.
No, I don't scare people. I said, it's something nice about you. I said, tell me what.
Sonia, thank you for spending the last hour with
me. And I want to wish you a happy new year and a healthy one and a peaceful one.
Thank you, ma'am. Our guest has been Sonia Brodecki, a survivor of the Holocaust. My name is Don Dale, and thank you for joining us once again on What's Your Story?
Thank you.
You've been listening to What's Your Story with Don Dale. If you know somebody with a story to tell, or if you'd like to tell your own story, telephone the Virginia Voice, 804-266-2477, and be sure to join us next time for What's Your Story? This is Charles Mink speaking, and this is the Virginia Voice.